It's a tough thing when a news story hits so hard toward the end of the week and you haven't prepared a message that ties into it. But I've only got this to say about the attacks in Paris and about radical Islam in general. The presence of radical Islam is much less of a problem than the absence of radical Christianity. We need more radical Christianity. And by radical, I mean not death-dealing, but life-giving. They can lead the league in death if they want to. We'll lead the league in life. And communicating life, the life of a crucified and risen Savior. And the life that He offers to them if they will but receive it. It's a gift. Christianity needs to get radical in its obedience to Jesus Christ and His commands. This morning, the Sunday school class looked at the story of the birth of Isaac in Genesis chapter 21, right? And decided not to go into Abraham throwing Hagar out of his house. Because that's one of those uncomfortable passages, isn't it? Now, in fairness to the curriculum, in fairness, that this is a survey course, and there's a lot that gets skipped over. But I think this is a powerful passage and a vital passage that the church needs to address. This week when I was talking with some of my atheist friends about what I was going to preach about, they do have a keen interest in what I preach. I don't know why. One of them asked me, and he was a fellow who was very much a gay rights activist. And he said, well, what's preferable, a single parent family or a gay family having children? And I said, after a few quick skygrams, neither situation can be called preferable. But one thing is clear. Most of the time, single parenthood is not a decision. It's a situation, an undecided situation, something that comes at you. Anyone here who is a parent of young children is one heartbeat away from being a single parent, if you're not already. Single parenthood is something that tends to happen to whomever that parent is. My brother's wife died very, very suddenly, and he became a single parent in that moment. But a gay couple having a child, that's a decision that is made, generally speaking. It's a choice. I said, so they're very different things. He said, that was an amazingly good answer, so thank the Holy Spirit for that one. What is this story? Genesis chapter 21, beginning with the 8th verse. We read in verses 1 through 7 about the birth of Isaac. Isaac was the miracle child. Max Lucado says that Sarah was the only one who was paying the diaper bill with a Social Security check. Well, we know he was waxing a little facetious, but his point was correct. And that story seems to take precedence, but as Abraham prepares to celebrate a great event, something terrible happens at the party. The child Isaac grew up and was weaned. And Abraham held a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son, the one Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham, saw the son mocking. Ishmael mocking Isaac. Before I go on, some of you are looking at me like, what was going on here? And the answer from the Hebrew is, I have no idea. This word runs the gamut of positive things and negative things. There's no way to know what was here. But Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4 that he was persecuting Isaac. How? I really don't know. Isaac was probably 3 years old, Ishmael 15, 16. So really hard to say. But in any case, something went wrong here. Something went horribly wrong here. And so Sarah said to Abraham, verse 11, drive out this slave with her son, for the son of this slave will not be a co-heir with my son Isaac. Now this was a very difficult thing for Abraham because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be concerned about the boy and your slave. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her, because your offspring will be traced through Isaac. But I will also make a nation of the slave son because he is your offspring. So early in the morning, Abraham got up, took bread and a water skin, put them on Hagar's shoulders, and sent her and the boy away. She left and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she said, I can't bear to watch the boy die. So as she sat nearby, she wept loudly. God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy up, and sustain him, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew. He settled in the wilderness and became an archer. He settled in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, difficult story. We thank you for the truth of your word. We know that Hagar's story demonstrates to us the need for single parents to live in hope and for the church to act as God's vessels to make those hopes a reality. Empower us and challenge us through the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we look at this passage, we see it is a difficult one, isn't it? It gives you a really sour feeling about Sarah and about Abraham. It makes you scratch your head about God a little bit now, doesn't it? God told Abraham to send her away? Well, God had plan and purpose in it. But let's take a look at this whole thing from Hagar's point of view. I mean, she was driven out. When Sarah said, drive out that slave woman, it's the same term used in the earlier in Genesis in the Garden of Eden. God drove them out of Eden. You know what that is? Don't come back. That is expulsion. Those are harsh words. In verse 14, it says that she wandered in the wilderness. Once again, this is a term for aimlessness. For when the law says, when you see someone's donkey wandering, bring it back to the owner. If you see someone's sheep wandering, bring it back to the owner. What's that picture? That's a lost animal. And those of us who've seen the desert of Beersheba know you don't wander there very long. She had insufficient provision in verse 15 because the water skin ran out. And she actually regarded herself and her son as dead and buried. She set him off to the side, went away because she didn't want to watch him die. She saw herself as dead. And this is the plight of many single parents. Single parents obviously come in many forms. They often feel driven out. They feel judged, aimless, needy, helpless. And I remember the story of one single parent who was asked, why didn't you go to the church? And she said, I feel bad enough. Why would I go to them? Well, that ought to convict us, brother and sister. That ought to convict us. Because often, again, single parents are single parents by no design of their own. And if we cast any kind of judgment, what kind of people are we? We're supposed to be God's agents of life. God intervenes in this story, doesn't he? We see God's direct, miraculous intervention. Isn't it kind of neat how God always comes? How God often comes. It's interesting how God often comes to people when he approaches them. He often approaches with a question. I've often struggled with God's questions. God loves to ask me questions I have no answer for. I know a lot of you often come to me, Pastor, I've got this question, and you hope I'll have some kind of an answer. I'll be able to open the scriptures and show you something. When God asks me questions, I never have an answer. So I prefer yours, to tell you the truth. In Genesis 16:8, God spoke to Hagar before and said, where have you come from and where are you going? Good question, because she was aimless. She was wandering. In Genesis 18:9, God spoke to Abraham and said to him, where is your wife Sarah? How does God come to us? He comes to us with a question. Why? Because he wants us to think. How many of my atheist friends say religion is all about not thinking? Folks, religion is all about thinking. Relationship with God is all about thinking. It is thinking has everything to do with it. God is always telling us to think. And after the question, he gives his encouragement. Don't be afraid. A rabbi that I read occasionally said that that's the most frequently given command in Scripture. Don't be afraid. He wasn't even talking about the New Testament where it's all over the place. Now, isn't it interesting whom God heard? She was crying, but God heard the boy crying. Ishmael means God hears. And just as Jim read from the book of James, so Ishmael lived up to his name. God heard him. Why was he the one crying? We might think because of his situation, because of his plight, because of him feeling the approach of death. Remember, this whole thing happened because of him. This was his fault. At least that's probably how he would have viewed it at the age of 16. This is all my fault. I'm going to die, my mother's going to die, and it's all my fault. But God heard the boy. Did he not hear Hagar? Is it possible Hagar wasn't praying? You know, Abraham, I've seen you, and I've seen your God. And you drove me out. You know, I'm not at all impressed with your God anymore. Let that be a challenge. Let that be a challenge. God approached Hagar. And what did he do? Did God miraculously provide a well? It's not what the Scripture says. God opened her eyes to see what was there. Why didn't she see it before? Too caught up in her grief, too caught up in her pain. She didn't see the provision God had already laid out. As the church, part of our task is to be God's agents to those in need. Single parents among them. We are to be friends. We're nobody's judge. We are to be ears, not executioners. And you know, the point's been made before, earlier on, that sometimes Christians are Christians' worst enemies. That the army of God is the only army that shoots its wounded. And as the Scripture puts it so well, brethren, these things ought not to be. Be a friend. Doesn't necessarily mean you've got to do everything for them, but you've got to be a friend. And show where God's provision is. Now, Hagar eventually received God's provision. She, when God opened her eyes, she took and went and got that drink. You know, God is someone who shows us that in our worst situations, it may be what He has planned all along. Someone who is in a difficult situation posted this on Facebook. Sometimes when you're in a dark place, you think you've been buried, but actually you've been planted. Isn't that how God operates? Doesn't God put you into the deepest struggle to bring out the greatest fruit? We've seen so many beautiful pictures of the full circle children of Operation Christmas Child, children who received a box, then received Christ, and then started giving and sharing Christ with others. She received God's provision, and then she started believing in her son's future. What was she doing in the wilderness? She was wandering, right? Look at verse 20. God was with the boy, and he grew and settled in the wilderness. He settled. He stopped wandering. He got a wife. His mother doing the father's role, traditionally. He got a wife. He became an archer. And as we know, he grew into a great nation, according to God's promise. We have a God who raises the dead, doesn't he? We have a God who said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he said, unless a kernel of wheat or corn dies, it remains alone. But if you bury it and it dies, it brings forth life. So don't worry. I am the bread of life. And don't worry about burying me in the ground, because God brings forth bread from the earth. I will rise again. We have a God who raises the dead. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, Hannah's tremendous prayer when she finally conceived a child, God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the garbage pile. How many here has God raised from a garbage pile? I stand as one. Someone God raised from the garbage pile. I'm not supposed to be doing what I'm doing. I'm supposed to be out with the trash. That's the way it's supposed to be. God said different. And so the challenge is, if you are in a difficult situation, believe that God's provision exists and reach out for it. And as the church, be the source of God's provision. Be the hand of God reaching down to the Hagars of this world. The Hagars of this world are so many, particularly in the area we live in. We see it all the time. We're never judges. We're friends. And maybe we can't provide everything. Maybe we can't pay that rent check. But maybe we can buy a meal. Let's not worry about what we can't do. Let's do what we can and ask God to provide for more. So many of the messages that I read said that single parents, you need to have your hope in God. That is an empty message unless we as the church are ready to be that hope. Let's be the radical Christians God has called us to be, and thereby bring an end to radical Islam. Thereby bring an end to violent radical behavior. Because we're so busy bringing life, we don't have time for death. Jesus Christ has called us to bear the pains of this world with Him. He's done it. But he's not doing it alone. He's drawn his church into that same struggle.